So we're going to focus our mind today, this evening, on prayer. And I want us to think back to this year, and I want us to remind ourselves of our prayer lives. And hopefully this will encourage and strengthen the next years. Luke chapter 22, verse 40, it says this. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." So our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he's at the Mount of Olives. This is his last moments on earth. He's on the, like I said, Mountain of Olives in a garden called Gethsemane. But just before this was the Passover. With his disciples, he was consecrating the bread and the wine and breaking. And he also gave them, his disciples, a strict warning. He gave them a warning in verse 31 of a trial that was going to come. In verse 31 it says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." So he tells them of a strict warning, but they do not take heed to this warning. And then here in our verses, we approach here this scene, our scene, and he tells them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he repeats the same verse again, verse 46. "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." Usually in Bible interpretations, whenever we see repeated phrases, that means there's a specific emphasis. There's something that's important, something that needs to be thought of especially. There's something specific here that we need to pay attention to. Like I said, in verse 31, Jesus says, "Simon, Simon." He repeats his name, something that he usually doesn't. He repeats his name in this case, almost saying, "Peter, Peter, pay attention. This is a strict warning to you that you must be aware. You must pray. You must take heed. Satan has desired to sift you like wheat." And he says, "But I have prayed for you. But I have prayed for you." And then again, here, the same exact phrase that we're looking at, verse 40, as I've mentioned in 46. So there's a very important topic here, which is prayer. So the disciples were needed to be aware and are needed to be on guard. They needed to be on guard and more than ever before, but they didn't heed Christ's words. So that's what I want us to do today. I want us to take heed to Christ's words. I want us to pay attention to these words, that we would pray that we would not enter into temptation. Temptation, the same idea as sin. Pray that you would not enter into sin. That's the idea here. So the first things first, I wanted to pay attention to this verse, is Jesus says, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." Pray. First thing, it's a command. We read of a command. Christians, why do we pray? If I were to ask someone here, why do you pray? I'm commanded to pray. But yet, this is not a kind of a command to pray in the sense that I must do it because there's some kind of a reward involved. This is a command to remind us that we must pray. When a Christian is born, when he has repented, he has new characteristics added to him. He's a new creation. He's a new being. He's something that he has never been being that is added to that. You now can speak to the Father when once you could not. So I want us to pay attention to who he is talking to. Who is Jesus talking to? He's not talking to the general public. This is to his disciples, just as I am bringing this to you, to the Christians, to the believers. We must pray. And Jesus is saying here, it's a command. At the same time, he's reminding us of who you are. You must pray because you're a child of God. There is strength involved in that. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. Christians are commanded to pray. Again, this is reminding of the Christian's new creation. He has new characteristics, new desires. We were once alienated from God. When we were born, we were alienated from God. We were children of wrath, having no hope and without God. Родились без Бога. But then we have been bought with a price. We have been bought with a price, and we are no longer our own. And so now we have this new characteristic, which is prayer. I want us to understand the privilege of this, the power of this, that we are not by ourselves. The God who has created the universe, that has spread the Red Sea, and has the people of Israel walk right through it, is on our side. We now can speak to him. We now can talk to him. What a privilege that is. False religions, people who follow after false gods, they hope to have this God to listen to them. And yet we know the true God. William Gurnell said, praying is the same to the new nature as crying is to the natural. The child is not learned by art or example to crying, nor is he instructed, but he is instructed by nature. It comes into the world crying. Praying is not a lesson got by forms and rules of art, but flowing from the principles of new life itself. He's saying exactly what I'm saying here, is when we are born again, prayer is something that comes natural. It's like we have a yearning to talk to God the Father. How awesome is that? How great is that, that we can talk to God the Father? So Christ is saying, pray, because that is what you need. That is what your new nature longs for. He is reminding us of our position. Pray. Again, why should we pray? Because we are commanded to. We need to. We must. And it's also to uphold holiness, sanctification. Notice that he says, pray. Why? That you may not enter into temptation. Pray that you would remain pure, that you would remain holy, that you would not come close to sin, that you may escape sin. You have a new nature. Your soul hates sin, but you still live in your flesh. Your flesh is going to desire sin. Your flesh is going to want to sin. Your flesh is going to want to lie on the taxes so you could get a little more money. Your flesh is going to want to take something from work to build something at home. But the Spirit says, no, you are now my child. Remain holy. Pray. That's how you can be holy. Pray, it's to uphold holiness. Prayer is where the believer receives his strength from. That's where we receive our strength from. Why pray? Because we are to be built up. We must be built up. We have to be built up. We have to grow if we are Christians. The book that we're studying, Jude, the very verse that we're going through, verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Building ourselves up to mature Christianity involves praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Can everyone truly pray? Can anyone truly pray? The answer is no, because everyone asks for lottery who are not believers. How many times could I mention at my work who have wished to get the lottery, who have prayed for the lottery? Do they ever get it? Do they pray in the Holy Spirit? That's the question that they should ask. Are they praying with the Spirit of God within them, crying to God the Father, "Abba, Father"? Sometimes we're in Romans 8, we don't even know what to pray for. But the Spirit helps us. But there's a very important truth in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" Because you are sons. If you are a son or a daughter of God, you will cry out to God the Father. You will cry out to Him. Why? Because you cannot stand to live on this earth in this flesh, in this filthy flesh. So you will cry out, "Abba, Father, take me now. I can't stand to be in this world polluted with flesh, polluted with sin. I need to be sanctified completely." And so you will cry out, "Abba, Father." You will have that prayer. How often do we cry out to our Heavenly Father that way? How often do we plead with God to cleanse us, to strengthen us, to keep us holy? How often do we trust in Him and express our trust in this prayer? Why should we pray? To assure ourselves of this sonship. To assure ourselves of this sonship. That we may be built up to godliness. Built up in godliness. There are many people who pray. There are many traditions to prayer. I work with a lot of Catholics. They have a lot of symbolism to prayer. But does that all that mean anything? Do their spirits cry out, "Abba, Father"? There are many who cry, who pray. But are they crying out? Are they praying for the right things? Someone might say, this idea of sonship is very foreign to me. I trust the Bible. I love the Bible. I love God. I believe in Him and all this stuff. And I try to trust in Jesus Christ. But this idea of sonship is just so foreign to me. But perhaps you haven't really fought on your knees yet. I want us to notice how our Lord prayed. Notice in verse 44 of this same chapter, the heavier it got, the more fervently He prayed. The more on Him this agony of the Father's wrath upon Him, He prayed harder. Do we pray harder? Do you pray like that? Do you pray upon your knees when sin is at the door, when you're looking sin right in the eye? Are you falling to the ground and praying and asking God for strength? Perhaps you really haven't fought on your knees yet. Many try to defeat sin by their own hands. Many try to defeat sin by their own power. But there is only one source of power. There's only one source of strength. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." Any other strength, there's no strength at all. We are but flesh, but dust, and to dust we will return. What kind of strength is there in us? What kind of strength is there that we can achieve? Who only live but a few years? Let us rely upon Him who lives for eternity. So many try to defeat sin by their own power. How often do we say, "That's it, I'm gonna fight like I've never fought before"? After they've fallen in sin, perhaps they get up and that's it. I'm not gonna fall again. I'm gonna try harder this time. Next thing you know, you're back on the ground. You get up. This time I'll fight harder. I don't care what I gotta do. Next thing you know, you're on the ground again. Why? The problem is you're not taking your battle to the Lord who has already obtained victory. He's already won it. You're not taking your problems to Him. You're not falling on your knees. How much power did Christ have? And He still fell on His knees pleading to God the Father. So fall upon your knees and plead, cry, beg. How many times I'm tired of hearing on the radio, ask Jesus to enter into your heart. We don't read of no asking. We read of crying, begging. Plead with Christ. I want us to ask yourselves, do you truly desire to be separated from this world? Do we truly desire that? Sure, we all pray. How do our prayer? Where are our prayers pointing to? Do you really desire to be separated from this world and cling to Christ? Do you truly want to belong completely, wholeheartedly upon Christ? Do you want to be His child? Ask that question, because your prayers may be just traditional prayers, repetitive prayers. And this world, separating from the world, maybe is just some kind of a cover-up in religion. Therefore, cry to God as a son through the Spirit which yearns holiness. Crying, "Abba, Father." Do we see this in our prayers? Do we cry out, "Abba, Father"? Do we come to the throne of grace, seeking this grace that has saved us? Do we come to that grace on a daily basis, seeking comfort? So I want us to think to ourselves, through this past year, have you had strength? Have you prayed fervently like Christ has? Have you fallen upon your knees? Christ was shedding blood. Have you shed blood? Then we shouldn't complain. So let us come and approach the throne of grace on a daily basis. Receive strength from Him who has given us strength, who has opened our eyes, who has given us the ability to open His book and to absorb His words, that His words may be in this mind. When I'm experiencing temptation, that I may pray His words, the only source of power. May the Lord bless His word. Amen.